She's dead.
Death, a funny business on FUBAR Radio with Becky Briggs and Natasha Spencer-Levy.
It's all shits and giggles till somebody dies.
Yeah, it is.
It is. Oh, my God, we're live, Tash.
Oh, I'm not scared at all. I'm not scared at all. I don't... I'm not sweating. I'm a little bit hot. I'm not going to lie.
Are you hot?
I don't know, Rebecca. It's hot. Just... I'm a little bit nervous. I'm not going to lie. Which is quite funny because I'm a live theatre girly, so I should be fine.
You're so used to this.
But I don't know. There's something about being told that I'm live now is quite...
It's so scary.
Slightly overwhelming.
So exciting. So we've kind of so done exciting. The intro, but this is Death, a Funny Business, where we talk about... What do we talk about?
We talk about death.
We laugh. We cry.
We do. We laugh. We cry. We talk about our gossip in our lives.
A lot of gossip.
That seems to be fascinating to other humans. Mm. And we do like funny things sometimes.
Yeah, we play games.
We do. We play games.
We have spoken to
well,
so many...
Well, hold on. What? I'd like to point out that we don't play games. You play games with me.
I get played at.
That's the truth.
That is the truth.
I get forced to perform like a small...
But you love that. You love that.
And
like, I was just thinking, because no one's listened to this. We're live now, right?
We are. This is the first time that Becky and I have been live, which is very exciting.
And should we talk about kind of like why we're here? I know we've done it before.
No, do it. Because this could be the first time that people have heard us like live, because some people, you know, aren't going to have heard us before.
Yeah.
Do it.
So, okay.
Why aren't we here? Who died?
We are here. Who died? My father.
And my mother.
Died.
far away from each other. Not at the same time, but...
No, but still fucked up our whole lives.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, yeah, that's kind of what happened, right? So
Becky and I have known each other since we were 7 years old. I remember the day Becky walked into that classroom. She walked in that little blue dress, and I thought... She's going to be the bane of my existence for the rest of my life. And she is. She's making me get out of bed and work and create things. And it's just a freaking nightmare.
I'm your new mum.
Yeah. Oh, I'll be your daddy. I've been looking for a daddy.
Okay.
Well. Anyway, so that's kind of a bit about the show.
So basically, my mum died and then your dad died. And I was like, oh... Let's hang out.
And then my dad died. And when he died, I've said this before, but I Googled, like, what do I do when my dad dies? Yeah. I had absolutely no idea what to do.
No.
Your face just went so serious just then. And I did Google it, and there was, like, not a lot out there. And so I thought, let's find a way to talk about death in a fun way where people can relate. So I'm hoping people can relate to this. And then I met you again.
And then Mr. Jameson died.
And then our primary school teacher died. And then we just hung out a bit more. And like, we are here today on a Tuesday live.
Every
talking
Tuesday.
About death. So thanks for joining us.
Yeah, we can cry together and be all cozy with one another.
So what's happening today?
What is happening today?
What is happening today?
Matt Phipps is coming in.
He is.
The lovely Matt Phipps. He's coming in to talk to us about the death of his mom and how he's been monitoring? Not monitoring, the monitoring. Other one. What's the other word?
Mentoring?
Documenting his grief online.
I think he has been mentoring as well. Not mentoring, but coaching.
Very good. Mm. Well, we'll have to ask him, I guess.
Well.
And then we're going to chat.
We're going to chat and then we're going to play a game.
Yes, we are.
So stick around.
Yeah. How was your Christmas?
Oh, okay. Straight in. My Christmas was actually okay.
Oh,
I think because we talked about like Christmas before and...
We did. But how was the actual...
It was fine. Like, so I'm Swedish, so we spent...
Sweden.
Sweden. Yeah, from Sweden.
Oh.
And we celebrated on the 24th, so we did like the whole Swedish thing and eating herring and all that stuff on the 24th.
Delicious.
Mm. And then my brother and I made a roast dinner on the 25th.
Oh.
But it was just us two together, and it was quite fun. It was a little bit like, you know, Dad's not here, so let's kind of, you know, forced fun. Let's try and get a British humour in. Yeah. Listen to some Michael Bublé and wrap the bacon around the sausages kind of situation.
The most British thing we can do, wrap bacon around sausages, quite right.
With a gin and tonic.
With a gin and tonic.
And then just got really drunk.
Good.
So it was fine. And
lovely.
Like, for the first time, actually, I think this year I didn't cry about Dad
nice.
Not being there.
Yeah.
I think I was just too busy in my puzzles. And
no, you didn't do puzzles.
I tried.
Rebecca, I got into puzzles this Christmas. I'm not even lying. How crazy is that? Sorry, it's not that crazy, but that's wild that you said it, because I was about to tell you about my new puzzle addiction. I think I'm an old lady. I think it's happened.
I think it's pretty therapeutic, though, and I think it's the one
so
thing that...
Fun.
I do, where like my whole brain just goes quiet.
Yeah.
Just goes so quiet.
Becky just drowned in her own spit.
Otherwise my thoughts are just too much. And like my brain is so complicated. Like I really wish that people could just see inside this thing.
Oh, babe.
And I thank
that's why
father.
We're here. We're here to like unravel your the inner workings of your ego.
But you had a New Year's kiss.
Shut up.
Oh,
why are you telling people that? Yes, I did. I kissed a boy. Oh my God. Everybody. Hey, tick to Tash kissing another boy. Woo!
Woo! We did it. Why is this a tick?
Because that was number two.
Out of two. Ever.
2024, I did so well, basically. Really, like, just acing the game here. Mm. But no, New Year's, so much fun. Went out dancing, which I don't normally do. Mm. But went dancing, kissed a boy, lived my life, you know. But then, I don't really think that that's the important part of my existence right now.
No, it's not really about the show, is it?
But I also, Becky's, like, brought up this boy that I kissed at a club,
it's
like,
what happened
for
at
about
Christmas.
5 seconds.
We're supposed to be talking about death.
Yeah, no, well, we could talk about me at Christmas.
Let's talk about you and Christmas.
Well, I went to Cornwall with all my godparents. All of them? My godparents and their whole family and my sister and my dad. Bless my dad. My poor father had a bunch of health struggles just before we decided to go to Cornwall. Emergency eye surgery, tooth surgery, trains.
But he's fine.
He's fine. He's
Everyone
all good. Everyone's
fine.
Happy and everyone's safe. We had a lovely Christmas. I did have a Christmas cry about mummy. Just because...
Where were you? Can you paint the scene?
Yeah, so my godmother got out some old home videos and I was fine, and then you know when you're like watching the telly and you realize that no one's looking at you, do you know what I'm saying? Like, you know when you're like in a room with a lot of people but then you realize that no one's like it's almost like you're kind of like in your own little sphere, and then I realized that like everyone was very centered on there, and I was like, oh, I'm about to have like a moment, and then I was like, oh no, and then I just started crying and I had to like leave the room.
Why did you have to leave the room? Because
I was crying. I just think it's like one of those things where it's like, you know when it comes, you know when you start crying a bit about mum or dad, whatever, and then it gets a bit like, oh, this isn't just the singular tear. This is like a bit of a choking moment. Like I'm like, I'm about to start coughing. Oh. So I better just like leave the room and go to the bathroom and like, you know, be a good person. And
also sometimes
be sensible
you want to
and
be
British
private.
And
private. Grieving in private. It's a very British thing.
But no, apart from that.
Oh, I'm fine. Oh, Chris, sure. Do you want a cup of tea?
Do you know what it was? It's just because I love her so much and like watching videos of her. It's like mum in South France when they were like 24 and like when they used to do Christmases together, like when we were before we were even born, like, and I was saying to my godmother, I was like, I just have this horrible feeling. Because obviously my mum passed when I was 7. Sometimes I have this like horrible feeling. This is why I think I got upset, was because I was like, I have this horrible feeling that we would have really gotten along. Like we would have really gotten along well.
Especially now you're 25.
Yeah.
So.
And she's like wearing a red cardigan. This red cardigan. Because this is mummy's. And then like, you know, she's like, the way that she laughs is the same. And like my whole family are like, you're just like your mother. I mean, Tabby is very similar.
But when people say that, it's like, it's a compliment, but you're like, oh, but I don't know what you mean by that because I don't actually know what my mum's like. But that's why it's quite nice looking at these videotapes because you do get a glimpse of what she was like.
Yeah, 100%. It's just one of those things
emotional.
Where it's like, oh, fuck, like, do you like, what if she was my best friend? Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I think she would have been, though.
Yeah, she would have been. I feel like
from
we would have got along.
The sounds of her and like...
My godmother was saying like, your mother was very opinionated. And I was like, sounds familiar.
I wouldn't say you're that opinionated.
Really?
No.
Oh. Or maybe I'm just not. Maybe I just don't have many differing opinions from you.
Maybe.
Maybe we're
maybe
just
I
the
just
same.
Nod.
I would think that other people would call me opinionated.
No, I don't know.
What would you call me?
Circle back to that. I can't think about that right now. I don't know.
I would say you're like a Barbie princess.
Thanks. I went on a retreat.
Yes, you have to tell me about the retreat.
This was the... Like, are you ready?
No, I'm not. Because you've...
I briefly told you.
This story has been on hold for ages and I'm actually excited.
Oh my God. So, Mum thought it would be fun to go away over Christmas for a few days. It was between Christmas and New Year. You know, just have some girly time and just get away from... You know, family and the kind of Christmas, it's Christmas.
Yes. The pressure of hosting.
We went away to Italy.
Lovely.
Because my mum's yoga teacher was hosting a retreat. And I asked my mum, hi, mum, do you know the yoga tutor? She was like, yeah, kind of. Like, you know, I go occasionally on a Sunday. So who's going to be there? I don't know, we'll find out. Like, super chilled. Yeah. Like, right, okay, I'm loving this kind of spontaneous attitude.
It's just let it flow.
Yeah. Long story short, we get there and me and mum are the only people on the retreat.
No.
Yeah.
No.
We're the only ones there.
What do you mean?
Apart from the five instructors.
Oh, who so are, very personal.
Who are like anti-vaxxers very much like wouldn't go to the doctors, and they were trying to like convert this
holistic
doctor to you know, it's not too late for you to change your mind and you can still go down our path. I probably shouldn't even say this live, but it was amazing to meet these different people, because
yeah,
I would never have crossed paths with people like that before.
No.
But it was quite funny when me and mum were just on our own doing these kind of like weird yoga exercises.
And then a bunch of conspiracy
and a bunch of like
theorists.
Yeah, and like a fruitarian was there.
Oh,
so
don't we love
New
a fruitarian?
Year's Eve was 8 oranges on
the
plate.
No, please stop. That's it.
Yep.
What do you mean?
8 oranges.
I don't understand.
Well, only eats fruit.
But did you have to join in or
no.
did
oh, well,
he was
yeah,
just
well,
eating
we had to have some pretty
because look
fruity
no
food.
No disrespect to the fruitarians, but y'all are whack.
I have one word
bread.
But they went on a banana diet.
Qu'est-ce que c'est?
So they ate 47 bananas.
No, you'll
every
die
every single day for 3 months.
You will die of potassium poisoning.
And I almost felt like drawn in.
Do you not
to
think
this,
his
like,
poops were like going to be like horrendous? Like,
I didn't
have
ask
you
him.
Ever eaten that many bananas and not like pooped your pants?
Well, I would have felt really sick if I have more than like 2 bananas.
I love bananas as well. My housemate will attest that I will get through like 5 bananas in like 2 days. Like, I love a banana. I like eat 2 bananas.
But imagine 47.
47? Nah.
Anyway, the point of this conversation was the fact that we were trying to escape, like, being at the whole, like, family time and all this stuff. And then we end up in this very
bizarre
situation. And I'm still left quite speechless and traumatised.
Do you feel like you've learnt a lesson from...
I do feel very calm. I did this amazing thing called breath work. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's
no,
incredible.
I don't know how to breathe.
No one knows how to breathe, okay?
Oh.
And no one does. Go and research it.
Here we go,
listen.
Guys.
But we should really just be breathing like through the nose.
Do you want to know that this
and
is
then,
great? This is great radio.
Out through the mouth. Oh my God, I have to say this. So what happened during this breathwork class was that the idea, the incentive behind this very class was to unleash kind of emotions within oneself.
Okay. As you do.
God, did it unleash.
Oh, did you?
Oh, my God.
Did you
I
have
was,
a scream?
I cried. I was shaking. I was cold. There were blankets on me.
Yeah.
And all I did was breathe. And I saw my childhood flash before my eyes. It was as if I was drowning, because we had to hold our breath for 2 minutes. I held my breath for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
I was
gone. Did they make you do all the breathing beforehand?
Yeah.
They make you breathe for like 27
breaths.
Yeah, do
this, breaths. Like, this thing
and then
slow breath.
And then you hold your breath for like 5 minutes. I've done that before.
Uh-huh.
You basically asphyxiate yourself.
That's a big word for me, Tash. What does that mean?
Sorry, like you choke yourself a little bit.
Oh, no, I think I did.
Yeah.
But then I was seeing my dad in front of me and I was like, and like childhood memories. And my memory is awful. Like everyone knows me. I can't remember what happened yesterday, but I also can't remember what happened 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I have no memory. But things were starting to come back to me. And throughout those few days of the retreat, I did actually feel very calm and my memory started coming back. So actually that's someone who I'd love to get in, or someone who works in breath work, because that would be fascinating.
I discovered Wim Hof like before he was cool, and I remember being like 16 and be like, yeah, I do like Wim Hof breath work, and I like go wild swimming before everyone else like knew what it was, and then everyone's like, oh no, I do Wim Hof, and I was like, oh, I can't be fucked with that shit, I won't be cold. Although I do love a cold plunge.
Yeah, that's fine. Or like a cold shower,
a cold
for like
shower. But
30
I,
seconds.
No, but I do believe in it, because I remember when I first discovered his like technique, I remember sitting in bed and doing it on my own and then being like, who needs class A drugs when you have breathing? That's how I felt inside. And I felt like I'd gone to some...
It's true.
Also, it's true. Have you ever done a sound bath?
No, but I'm going to do that. There's actually so many of these kind of like alternative...
Holistic
releases that I think we should try.
We should get out some of that trauma from our hips.
That's so much trauma. You know what I'm saying?
That's where girls store it.
That's true. We're going to have to go to break, but we're going to come back and Matt Phipps is going to be sitting in that chair and we're going to be asking him some questions.
Yay!
So see you all very shortly.
Bye.
FUPAR Radio. That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
I'd love to ask for people that look at you. What's one tip you would say to someone that potentially wants to be a future Chancellor of the Exchequer?
I guess I would just encourage all people, but particularly young women, because I'm the first ever woman to be Chancellor of the Exchequer and the post has existed for 800 years.
Oh, wow.
Just to say to all young women and girls, there's no ceiling on your ambition. You can achieve whatever you want. Aim high, dream big, and you can realise your dreams too.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores. The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
It's the sound of your mates alive. It's getting to more gigs this year and the next. It's the sound of saying, I got you, mate. It's the sound of mates enjoying even more of this. It's the sound of mates getting home instead of here. Click your seatbelt, because you're twice as likely to be killed or seriously injured if you don't think.
When you notice something wrong, it tends to grow and eventually take over to the point you can't really think of anything else. If something in your body doesn't feel right, the thought it could be cancer can play on your mind. Tests could put your mind at rest. Finding out sooner is always better. Your NHS wants to see you. Contact your GP practice.
What the Health with Gabby Allen.
Now I am joined by Faye Edwards, international fitness presenter. How do you personally stay so motivated?
We are all aging. That is my motivation. Sorry, Gabby. It's the
cray,
truth.
Cray.
And we can't change that, but we can help ourselves and keep our independence for as physically long as possible. It's about lifestyle. I have a better lifestyle. That is my motivation.
Politics Uncensored with Ali Milani and Zoe Grunewald.
What would you be advising the Labour leadership to do at this point?
My view is just apologise. I went to the theatre last night. I'm with my wife and family, and as I'm walking, a bloke says very loudly, John McDonnell, has he paid for his tickets? I went back to the bloke, said, yeah, I did pay for my tickets, and I always do. What that whole ticketing thing and all the free gifts thing doesn't just damage those individuals, it damages us all, because they all think, oh, they're all the same, and we're not.
Death, a funny business on FUBAR Radio with Becky Briggs and Natasha Spencer-Levy.
And we're back.
Yeah.
We're back with Matt Phipps. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming.
Thanks for coming.
Jinx.
I don't really want to introduce you. Well, I will introduce you because that's rude, but...
Yeah.
Correct us if you're wrong, but you are an influencer and fitness coach. Is that how you want to be introduced?
Yeah, sure, that'll work. I'm still getting used to that title.
Yeah.
I started posting silly videos on the internet.
some of them about my mum.
And now we're here.
I'm sat in a recording studio. Yeah, sure. I'll take it.
And they're about, you know, death and your mum passing away. That's the kind of that's what your content is about. Is that right?
It's sort of more lifestyle stuff, peppered in with the occasional, I'm suddenly thinking about my grief for the first time in a while, so I think I'm going to post about it and talk about it. Mm. So maybe that's every like month or 2 months, probably more so, because it's just been Christmas and I heard you guys talking about
it. Amen.
Yeah. And that's when it comes up, you know? It's always the milestones. I turned 30 as well on January the 5th.
Congratulations.
So, yeah, all the milestones at once.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, that's something we should definitely touch on, milestones and grief, actually. I don't think we've really talked much about that, but that's one one that
New Year's resolutions.
Yeah,
what are we
exactly.
doing? Who are we? What does it all mean?
Yeah. How was celebrating your 30th without your mum?
I'll give you the honest answer. It was awful.
Yeah.
I didn't really enjoy it at all, and I knew I wasn't going to. But it was still fun because you get to celebrate with your friends and all the people that are still here. But I think I just tried to allocate a bit of time to thinking about it so that I didn't just let it sort of linger the whole day while I was supposed to be happy and celebrating.
Yeah.
So I did my best, but you know.
And like with kind of, you know, exploring your grief online and like sharing it with lots of people, like how did that come about? Did you just decide like you wanted to tell people about it more? Which was it like a kind of like a exploration for community, like what was the
I wanted to tell people about it more. I've never been a very creative person, and I didn't have an outlet for any of my feelings. And classically, as a man, I'm not very adept at talking about my emotions, so I thought maybe the logic was I'd force myself into talking about it by posting it on the internet. It seems counterintuitive and a bit silly.
No, I get it.
I just had a lot of things I wanted to say and talk about it, and I wanted to put together, like have the creative process of putting together some like a video with clips of my mum, clips of me, and try and tell a story with it as well.
Yeah.
So it was quite healing for me doing that. Mm. It wasn't, the first attempt wasn't very good, but you know, it made me feel better. So I was like, okay, I'm going to keep doing it then.
People watching that, it is like I did watch a few videos and it is relatable, and you do just think, oh great, I'm not the only one who felt like that, and not everyone is brave enough to put it online and share what they think. But did any of that kind of come from like wanting to post, come from you being like, guys, it's actually really shit and no one's seeing this? And I want to, because for me it has been. Well, I've been posting kind of, sometimes because I've been like, I don't think anyone actually gets it. This is really difficult and no one's asking me about it, so I'm just going to tell people. And then as a result, people are more understanding of like why I'm acting a certain way, or, you know, why I'm actually just quite sad today. Like, was that part of the reason?
Yeah, 100%. That was very much part of it. And I think especially because now I'm just over 2 years deep into it. So I think
it's
like
quite fresh.
The people around you, they stop asking you about it, which is fine. It's not their thing. It's my thing. Yeah. And they'll ask occasionally, but it's not something that's front of mind for them. So I'm like, oh, I still want to talk about it.
All the time. I want everyone to know.
Of course.
Every minute of the day.
I can't do it all the time. So I'll just do it some of the time, but I need to find new people to talk to about it.
Well,
and yeah, I do think that a lot of Instagram content's very it's curated, it's positive, which is great, but sometimes you just gotta sprinkle a bit of negativity in there, you know?
You do it in a really funny way. Like, you are quite silly and occasionally self-deprecating.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm just another influencer, like why would you want to listen to me?
Can I just say I'm gonna take personal responsibility for the one who sent your reel to our producer. I was like, we need to have this guy on the show because he's quite funny. And like I found it just like, it's one of those things where people are like, how can you be laughing at this? Like, how are you laughing? It's like, well, at the end of the day, like, I don't know what else to do. Like, if I'm not laughing about it, I'm freaking, like, miserable. So, yeah, I genuinely was like, actually, this is such a vibe for, like, our show as well. Like, yeah, I feel like you get it.
I'm not sure what either of your experiences were like with death in any detail, but I remember distinctly when my sister and I were dealing with it when she was in the hospice, my mum, Carol. The jokes were flowing then, you know. She was days away from dying, and the jokes were flowing because it's the only way you deal with it.
Yeah.
And it's not the only way. That's probably not a factual statement,
it's
but
it's
definitely a tool to use to deal with it.
And if you're happy to talk about it, so your mum battled with cancer for a long time.
Yeah, 10 years. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
She was diagnosed in 2012, I think, and she was supposed to die in 2016. And my God, did she cling on?
She was just holding on, claws deep.
By the end, she was a husk, but she was clinging on. Fucking hate me for saying that.
No, I doubt it. You can say whatever you want. No, she can't do nothing about it.
That's a good point. Good point.
That's what I would say. What was your mum like?
She was so lovely. She was so thoughtful and caring and selfless. And I mean, I'm sure lots of mums are like that with their kids, you know, when they just put them on a pedestal. But she she'd sacrifice her own stuff for us at any given opportunity, which meant that, we formed a really strong bond. We were so close. Me, her, and my sister would spend a lot of time together.
And she
was just so sweet and really funny as well. She tried to instill a sense of humour in both of us. I think it worked for my sister.
I think you have a sense of humour.
Yeah, it's there sometimes.
It's there.
Yeah, yeah. It's there under the surface.
It's there.
Yeah. But, Yeah, she was so amazing. She was so wonderful. Yeah. And I do really miss her every day.
Yeah, of course.
Especially around, like we were talking about, milestones.
Yeah, 100%.
And they're all crammed into one corner of the year, like the death anniversary, her birthday, Christmas, then my birthday. My sister's birthday's the day after she died. It's all kind of fucked, really.
Yeah, do you know what? I have a similar thing where everything is in autumn. So, like, everything happens, like, my birthday, Christmas, mum's anniversary as well. It's all, like, this ghostly, like, October. Ooh, oh, the amazing. Leaves are on the floor.
The trees are dying.
Exactly.
Everyone around me's dying.
Everyone's dead. I don't care. Not at all.
And it's the anticipation, I think, is almost worse than the actual event, because you're just like, I don't know how I'm going to feel, and also feeling responsible for everyone around you. And, like, I always find that's always, like, super difficult to deal with.
Are you the oldest sibling?
Or yes. By 4 years.
Oh, really? Yeah. I don't know how you found it as an older sibling, but we're both older siblings. And I found it, like, tricky being the older sibling and being like, I almost feel worse for my sister most of the time than I do about my own mum. Like, I feel so bad for Tabby, like, more often than I actually am, like, sad about my mum, which is, I don't know, how was that experience being an older sibling for you?
It was fine for me, I think, because well, she's 4 years younger, but don't they say that women mature 4 years faster than men?
So she's actually something like that.
We're the same in every aspect.
Needs you not. She's fine.
Exactly. Well, we relied on each other, but at no point did it ever feel imbalanced. Like, at no point did I think that's quite a common trope, isn't it, that like an older brother would be like, yes, I must adopt the mantle of the sadness and I must take it all on my shoulders. But that's just silly.
Yeah,
I need to do that.
Well, that's just it's an old stereotype, isn't it? Like, at the end of the day, like, I mean, toxic masculinity will tell you that you're not allowed to cry about your dead mum, but I think it's okay.
I think it's
all right if you cry.
Yeah, it was fun having her there in a weird way. Like, we'd sort of we were both off work. It was this weird sort of time capsule period in our lives where we just had nothing to do. Every day was Groundhog Day.
Yeah, in just a hospice, the same thing.
But then occasionally we'd just have a really nice time anyway.
Yeah.
And
good food.
Great food. Yeah. Pizza Express was the sponsor of our.
This is what I'm saying.
Was the sponsor of our grief journey.
Everyone always has a good food story.
Mine is
Shepherd's Pie.
Ooh,
and do you know what's even crazy? I'm having some kind of realization right now, because shepherd's pie is what I eat when I'm sad.
Mm.
And there it is.
That's your comfort meal.
Amen.
Shepherd's pie.
If I'm like really in the pits, like I'm like, just like microwave shepherd's. I'm stabbing a shepherd's pie.
No, it's a microwave.
Oh yeah, no, it's dirty.
That changes the tone.
It's absolutely dirty, filthy.
And I'm really interested in this whole kind of online community that you've built because
we're kind of doing the same.
Yeah, I guess so. Like trying to reach people who are going through it and stuff. What's been the response from I guess your people?
Your people, your fans.
Yeah, the response is really positive. I think that so some of the lifestyle videos I post are obviously not related to that any way.
Yes.
And they are a little, I say silly, they're not, but not to undermine the videos. But
no.
These are
the fitness ones that you do, because you also, that's...
I don't even do that anymore.
But also, but it's like, I actually find it, I still think they're relatable, because it's like being in your 20s in London and being like, a bit like, oh, I have to get up and go for my mental health walk and I really don't want to. Like, I really don't want to.
Yeah.
And I have to do my skincare, but...
But it's not ever intended to like really hit someone at a super deep emotional level. It's just supposed to be mostly entertaining with maybe a little bit
for sure.
realism and hope you feel better about whatever you're doing kind of thing. But whenever I post the grief videos, the response is, it's really powerful for me to read some of people's messages, because I mean, everyone's going through it in some way or another. Someone's parent has passed away like a week ago, and they're and you remember that part of the journey as well, and you're going, oh god, I'm so sorry. There's nothing I can even say right now. And then people that have had it for 10, 20 years and they're just like, yeah, I actually really struggled today.
Yeah.
Then it was affirming to see the video. So it's lovely. Yeah.
I mean, 2 years is like not a lot of time. Like, I mean, my mum, how old am I? 25. And my mum died when I was 7. And it still is like the most bizarre mind, like... Fucking, excuse me. I'm allowed to swear. I don't know why.
Yeah, you can swear.
I'm absolutely allowed to swear, but I'm like censoring myself because we're live. I'm like, I must not say the swear words. But like, yeah, no, it's the most bizarre thing. It doesn't really matter about the time. We've always said this before, but like,
yeah, well, I thought I was kind of, you know, you I'd done the done. Grieving, and you were like, babes,
and I was like, darling, no, darling, it's only been like 5 minutes. What are you talking about?
Yeah,
you got time. Yeah,
you got time. Mm. Sorry, back to the online community. Do you ever feel scared about posting something?
Every single time I do, yeah.
Really? What's your like physical and emotional response? Because I've had this before. I posted something about grief and I've felt really vulnerable. And was this right? Is this too much? Or is this not enough? Do people going to think I'm just looking for attention?
Yeah.
And this is not me saying that at all, but as in these are just thought processes that I've had. I'm just intrigued to know how you felt about that.
Yeah, I have experienced the same, exactly the same thing, where I'm like, are people going to think that I'm trying to capitalise on my own grief and potentially turn it into an opportunity?
Yes. Yeah,
but like, I'm not doing that. I just want to communicate my feelings. but I think, it has crossed my mind before. And then at the start, I was really worried about anyone commenting and how I would take that, because I'm a very sensitive person and I do take everything quite personally. So if I see a hate comment specifically on one of those videos, it would ruin me. But then luckily no one's
so far so good
until this airs.
we're gonna edit this so you sound like an absolute arsehole. That's the plan.
Not much editing required.
I think it's just like, it's just super brave what you're doing, and I just think it's really I was intrigued to know how you kind of stay authentic and also that you, again, it's being real about you being nervous about posting about your grief. I think that's also something that's quite important to kind of note.
I had a thought the other day about the anxiety, because I still get it more than I normally do, or the same amount that I always do when I'm about to post. And I feel like that it's sort of tied to the authenticity of it. If I wasn't anxious or like worried about, am I doing this well enough to a good enough standard?
Yeah.
How is it going to be received? I wouldn't care. Therefore, it would probably come across as a bit wanky and inauthentic. You know?
Probably good then.
Yeah.
Totally.
Good old anxiety. Love it.
Doing you a favour.
Yeah. And what have you learnt about grief like over these 2 years? I mean, I know it's not been very long, but anything that you kind of want to share?
Yeah. In one of my first grief videos, I think the theme was that it does get better. And then I'd like to add to that, it gets worse again. And then it gets better. And then it gets worse. And then it gets better and so on.
Yes.
And you get the picture. Like it's... It's been a struggle, and I don't really know what I'm doing, to be honest. And I think that I have dissociated for a lot of it.
Yeah.
But I think I'm sort of starting to come out of that. I'm not sure if anyone would resonate with this, but I think I became, because it was a 10-year battle with cancer, followed by then the death and everything.
Yeah.
I think I've become like wedded to my suffering. You know, like I'm addicted to it. I'm addicted to my own suffering.
Yeah.
And I've come to realise that. Not
I just
to get
got
too
goosebumps.
Deep, but I love it.
Yeah,
I fucking love it. Hurt me.
And I don't want to be a masochist anymore.
No, I get
it. It's like I'm not living in the present because I'm addicted to myself. I wake up every day and I think that like, these are the emotions that I'm just going to live with. But they don't have to be. It's just because I've not processed them. They're just living next to me.
100%.
I've not done anything with them.
100%.
So yeah, I'm working on that. It's a work in progress and it's a journey.
It will be. And I think like that's something, it is just a roller coaster and it's ups and downs, and like there are genuinely no rules and there's nothing that you can do to make yourself feel better. And I think even if something makes you feel better just for an hour, like it's, do you know what I mean? That's great. And then you have a cry, that's fine. But it's just this just fucking journey that does it end, Tash?
Guys, I just want to know. I'm 18 years in and I'm still fucked. No,
but it's really heavy. I find that really heavy. The fact that you're like, okay, when is this gonna like end? Am I forever like identified as the sad girl?
But can I just say, I think we're definitely gonna be identified for the rest of our lives as the dead girl. The dead girl.
Digital footprint.
Exactly. The digital footprint is too bad. What I would say about time and healing and all of that malarkey is that actually recently, in the last few months, I've been like, oh. And you know what? This is so embarrassing, but I'm gonna say it. Andrew Garfield talked about his mum the other day, and I bet you like Andrew Garfield. Yeah, Andrew Garfield talking about his mum, and I was like, oh shit, what if I think about it like that? He talks about his mother dying in the most beautiful way. He basically, like, he cries, and he basically explains to everyone that it's like, it's not because it's sad, it's because she's wonderful. And I kind of had that realization, like, over New Year. I was like, holy shit, like, what if it's not about being sad about her anymore? What if it's about like being like taking life by the balls and being like, yes, do you know what I mean? And like, instead of kind of being like, it's so sad she died. It's like, well, wasn't it beautiful that she like lived? And I feel like that's what, that's when I was talking about, sorry, not
no, that's really sorry. Touching. I
but like
that.
You know, I was saying about Christmas and seeing mum on the videos and stuff, like that's kind of how I felt. I was like, oh, it's so fucking beautiful that she was here, like, isn't that beautiful? Anyway, sorry.
No, it is.
About myself.
It's your show.
Yeah. True.
Are you done?
Yeah, I'm going to go. Bye! What was the most surprising thing that you found about, like, this whole experience of grieving your mother, but also, like, online? Like, I feel like it's such a different sphere of, like, because when I was grieving mum, when I was a kid, too, there was no social media, like... There was no one else, so I wonder what that's like for you.
Not many other kids really going through that either, so you've not got many people to confide in, I imagine.
Her. My mum's dead. Tash says really weird things at school.
Oh, she did.
I did.
Yeah. You said I had no boobs in year seven.
Relax.
Year four.
Oh, you were
anyway, we'll talk about this later.
You were grieving.
I was grieving. Yeah, Thank you, Matthew. Jeez.
Sorry, carry on.
I've never been asked that before. I don't really know. What was the most surprising thing?
Yeah.
I'm a very anxious person, so I always look to the future, very far in the future. I had 10 years to be looking to the future.
Nice.
So, and to prepare myself, the anticipatory grief kind of meant that not much of it was very surprising. I was like, oh yeah, this is shit. I hate this. I knew I would. That's why I felt so anxious. What was surprising? The fact that I think it was maybe the reaction from other people in the longer term, that like the sort of pity looks that they give you, but then they don't really know what to say. And I'm like, oh God, this is tiring enough. It's okay. Stop being weird around me. Just be normal.
But I do that with people now when
I
don't know what to say. Like, I realised, thinking about it now, I didn't even think I said I'm really sorry for your loss when you came in. And I genuinely am really sorry for your loss.
No, but
I don't care. But I wouldn't have said that either.
But I guess I'm just quite numb to the fact that this is a show about death and stuff.
Well,
so we're going to get to the crux of it. But also, I really struggle to know what to say sometimes in terms of like... Yeah, I'm really sorry, like, I'm here for you.
Maybe we should ask, what do you want us to say?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
What do you want people to say to you?
But then that puts something on a person who has got enough on their plate.
True.
I'd be like, oh, don't put it on me.
True.
But I think it depends on the person. If it's me, I'd be like, dispense with the politeness and the what's it called? Whatever it is. Those little
I know what you mean.
Those little sentences where you're just like, oh, yeah, I hear you. Yeah, I hope you're well.
Niceties.
I'm sorry, like, it wasn't you, it wasn't your fault, happened.
In a better place now.
Yeah.
I think that's my worst, I hate that one.
Yeah.
I've thought of a better answer for the surprising thing. The thing that surprised me most was how much joy I took in being, like, making people feel really uncomfortable. It's so
Amen.
Good. So good.
Your mum jokes change completely.
It's so good.
It is honestly the best thing in the universe when someone thinks they're about to get you and they say, yeah, and your mum, and you go, she's dead. And they're like, oh no. It's like the most horrific moment, but so satisfying.
It's so good.
So you have control over the situation.
Oh, absolutely. My friend the other day, she was like, how tall is your mum? And I was like, oh, she's 6 feet under. Yeah, they did not know what to do with that.
Gosh,
did you say that with a straight face?
Yeah. And then you let it hang in the air.
Yeah, it's funny here. See, you found your people. It's
so
funny
good.
Here.
Oh my God.
Nowhere else.
I don't really want to stop, but I feel like we're going to have to wrap up.
Yeah, we do, because we have to go to a break.
But is there any like one thing you want to tell people, I don't know, that's like lost someone right now? Like some wisdom or some advice, something nice. One of those nice phrases.
Niceties.
Is that the word called niceties?
Niceties.
Oh, I think that was exactly the word I was looking for
as well.
My parting gift to people would be to let yourself feel the feelings that are coming to you, but also cut yourself some slack and give yourself a break. And if you want to dissociate for a bit, that's fine.
Yeah.
It's a bit too much to be dealing with, especially in the early stages, all the time. Mm. And it does linger. It's always there because it's something so massive to you and important to you. So yeah, cut yourself some slack and
do a puzzle.
Yeah. Just try and take your mind off it every now and then because you need a break. But also, when you're not taking your mind off it, feel it.
Amen.
And process it.
And where can we find your humour on the online?
On the ether.
On the...
A shameless plug. You can find me on at Matt Phipps Fit on both Instagram and TikTok.
You're on TikTok as well.
TikTok.
Is there more?
My primary platform, but Instagram's the one.
Yeah.
Well then.
Thank you so much, Matt.
Thank you so much.
It's
been
it's
really,
been
really fun.
Thank you.
Despite the sad conversations.
Yeah, well, you know, everybody dies.
But we're going to go to a break.
Have a good time.
Bye.
FUPAR Radio. Politics Uncensored with Ali Milani and Zoe Grunewald.
What would you be advising the Labour leadership to do at this point?
My view is just apologise. I went to the theatre last night. I'm with my wife and family, and as I'm walking, a bloke says very loudly, John McDonnell, has he paid for his tickets? I went back to the bloke, said, yeah, I did pay for my tickets, and I always do. What that whole ticketing thing and all the free gifts thing doesn't just damage those individuals, it damages us all, because they all think, oh, they're all the same, and we're not.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores. Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
I was fine on this beach the other day. I didn't know the time of high tide changes, and I had no idea it could come in so fast. So I'm finding out the hard way. From this fella, the Coast Guard, who dropped in to get me out.
Ready!
Before you go to the coast, check the tide times online. In an emergency, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search Don't Get Caught Out.
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
I'd love to ask for people that look at you. What's one tip you would say to someone that potentially wants to be a future Chancellor of the Exchequer?
I guess I would just encourage all people, but particularly young women, because I'm the first ever woman to be Chancellor of the Exchequer, and the post has existed for 800 years.
Oh, wow.
Just to say to all young women and girls, there's no ceiling on your ambition. You can achieve whatever you want. Aim high, dream big, and you can realise your dreams too.
What the Hell with Gabby Allen.
Now I am joined by Faye Edwards, international fitness presenter. How do you personally stay so motivated?
We are all aging. That is my motivation. Sorry, Gabby. It's the truth. And we can't change that, but we can help ourselves and keep our independence for as physically long as possible. It's about lifestyle. I have a better lifestyle. That is my motivation.
Death, a funny business on FUBAR Radio with Becky Briggs and Natasha Spencer-Levy.
Yeah. Really, it's time for the game. It's time for the game. It is.
Welcome back.
Time for the game. Oh, that was fun.
That was really fun.
Matt's a sweetheart.
So nice and actually really funny. Like, I think he's got quite a dry sense of humour.
Yeah, I think he doesn't know he's funny as well. And I kind of want to be like, bro, you're funny.
You're funny.
You're funny. It's okay. We're all funny here. We're all nuts.
You're the funny one.
We've had this conversation in the toilet earlier. You are also funny. Thank you. I will not take on the responsibility of being just the funny
one. You provide the fun. Anyway.
There's a lot more going on here.
I like to be serious as well, which means I think we should play a game.
There's hair. Okay, go ahead.
So this is called the Stupid Death Quiz.
Love it.
Correct answers have been highlighted in bold.
I'm ready. Okay. It's a new year, and it means it's a new time for me to make a tit of myself. And now we're live.
But I think this is about history, so I think that you'll be fine.
Do you think so?
So what's, I think it's an ABC sort of situation. So cool. I think I'm going to ask you a question.
Give
you're
go.
Gonna go A, B, or C.
Cool. You're gonna give me multiple choice, that's what you're saying.
Yes, is that what they
excellent.
Call it?
Yeah, cool. That's what
the
exam
is. Okay.
I'm ready.
There's a big word here. Thanks, whoever made this. And we're live. I'm gonna do number two because I can't say the word in the first one.
Can I read the first word?
No.
All right.
Okay. In are you ready?
Well.
In 1567,
yep.
A Renaissance era mayor died during a town fire
yes.
by tripping on his own beard, which he was infamous for never trimming.
Mm.
While trying to flee the fire, he tripped on his own beard at the top of a flight of stairs and broke his neck. How long was his beard?
Ooh.
A, 4.5 foot long. B, 6 foot long. C, 3.5 foot long.
I'm going to go for four.
What's a foot? How many centimetres?
I'm five. just.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just 5 foot, so I would say about a foot shorter than me because it's on the face of a man, which means that it's got a foot. Do you know what I mean?
It's on the face.
I'm going to say foot. Well, no, because he might be tall. How tall was he? I don't know. This is a math question, not even. So I'm going to go 6 foot.
You should have gone with 4 because it's 4.5 foot long.
I was right the first time.
Damn.
I don't like these games. Okay, fine.
Oh, a music one.
Do it.
Yeah, so you're keeping score? Because I've got other things to do, thank you.
I'll keep score.
In 1678, a French composer was conducting a performance and died shortly afterwards. Ironically, the music he was conducting had been written to help the king recover from recent surgery.
Oh.
What was his cause of death? A. A violinist accidentally hit in the head with their violin in a blow and proved fatal. He passed 3 days after. Or B. The king was appalled by the performance and he ordered his execution. C. He accidentally hit his foot with his conducting stick, with such force. Oh my God, it's like a story. With such force that he caused gangrene.
Fuck.
Serious conditions where the loss of blood supply causes the body tissue to die.
I'm going to say it's that one. I want to say it's C.
It was.
Am I right?
How did they know this happened?
Because people write stuff down, Rebecca. It's called history. Should look it up. Yeah. Fuck, that's mean. I'm sorry.
I actually studied history A level.
No, you didn't. You're lying.
I swear to God, I did.
You serious?
I'm serious.
Sorry, that's mean. This is me being mean about Becky now.
In 1660, an aristocrat faced imprisonment in the Tower of London and eventually exiled to Europe. However, it is reported that he died not soon after from excessive laughter. What caused his fatal laughing outburst? A. Yep. It was rumoured he would be sent overseas in nothing than a canoe. Okay. B. He heard the news that Charles II had been restored to the throne.
Okay.
C. Possible. He realised his prison quarters would overlook a pigsty and he was infamously allergic to pork.
So this fella just starts laughing because one of these three things and then doesn't stop.
Say that again, sorry.
You weren't listening.
I was listening.
I'm going to say the pig thing. See?
No, it was the canoe.
Oh, what do you mean it was a canoe?
I don't really understand. He was rumoured he would be sent overseas in nothing than a canoe. Did he not like canoeing?
No, he went in a canoe. He didn't go overseas in a boat. He went in a canoe. Which is quite funny. Right. I wonder how far away he lived. Right, next, please.
Next one. Okay, we'll do the last one. That's a six, Becky. In 1671, a chef was responsible for putting together a banquet for more than 2,000 people in honour of King Louis the... That looks like it could be the ninth. It's an X, one and a B.
So X is Louis 5.
No, it's 10. X is 10.
Louis the 14th?
I don't know.
Louis the 19th.
14th. Fuck, it's the 19th.
14.
Louis the 19th. His reputation depended on the banquet. However, some of the preparations went...
Awry.
Awry. I need to go home and read.
Can I just say, sorry listeners, everybody. Turns out, Becky can't read. We've been doing this whole show. No one has, like, Leah Michelle had no idea she couldn't read the whole time. And now we're discovering.
Awry, didn't know it was spelled like that. Went awry. And he was so torn up, he ended up taking his own life with a sword at the banquet. What went wrong in the preparations?
The pie.
A. The fish arrived late to the banquet.
Sad.
B. There were still feathers on the duck. C. He overheard a comment from one of the guests that only peasants ate pork, which was one of the main meats served at the banquet.
I want to say C.
The fish was at
the right fish. He killed himself because the fish came late. This guy needs to get his priorities sorted. Okay, well, that was...
I don't even know what she got.
I think I got like
she
one.
She got two.
Two. Okay, not too bad.
That's really good. Well
I
done.
Think this is... do you know what? Next time, I'd like to request more general knowledge, like more specific general knowledge quizzes.
I would like to request some simple English.
Or, here's an idea. We turn the tables and I do the reading. The dyslexic does the reading. And you can answer the question.
I'm questioning my own abilities, Tash.
Well, who'd have thought it? You got this far.
Who'd have thought it? let's talk about the show.
Shall we?
I'm done with the game.
I can tell.
I'm done with the game. I can't.
She's just frustrated.
Name, I feel I'm really sweaty.
Yeah,
I'm really red. Have I gone really red? Yeah, because I just can't read.
It's lucky that this is just a radio show.
It's lucky we're live.
No, no, but hey, we're fine. You're fine. I've had a lovely day.
I've had such a good day.
What a nice time to be back in the studio. Like, I feel like over the Christmas period, I was quite sad, not sad to be away, but it's just nice to have this little fun thing that we do on a Tuesday. Not it's a little fun thing, but you know what I mean.
Well, it is. And also, I think it was so nice, like, being out, you know, I love having our guests on and stuff, and because I just feel like it makes us feel like, you know, we're not the only ones kind of going.
We're
going
not crazy.
Stuff. And, like, Matt, like, I could see it in his eyes. Like, he was, he's still, like, we're all grieving, but, you know, it's still emotional.
Yeah.
Maybe he just has very blue watery eyes, but I feel like he seemed like he was quite upset at some points of that conversation, and
Do you know what it is?
I think it's nice.
I think it's nice to see a guy talk about grief openly. I think it's rare. I feel like a lot of the time that we're kind of experiencing the grief sphere online, a lot of it is girls talking about their experiences, and it's quite nice to hear kind of a more sensitive situation with a fella.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. I just felt very real, and it felt very raw, and it was just nice to feel like being around that. I think made me feel like, fuck yeah, this is shit that people go through. Yeah. Like, obviously I know that because we're on the show, but it's just a reminder that it is also very crap.
Yeah, it is crap. And, like, you know, Matt was saying, obviously his mum only passed 2 years ago, and I think it's, you know, for anyone who's experiencing it in real time, it is. 2 years is not long. Like,
I think that's actually, no, you're right, that's what it is.
And, like, it's not a long time. I mean, even, I was saying this to someone earlier, I was like, you know, even 3 years, I mean, think about where you were 3 years ago. It's not a long time. And, like, I think, like, there's a level of, you know, he's right, you know, we have to be kind to ourselves and take every day as it is, and, like, not judge, because also as grieving can come out in different ways, and, like, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're crying. It can mean that you're not getting out of bed. It can mean that you're, like, isolating yourself from people, and or whatever your
disassociating. That was also something that he said, which I really relate to, that I actually kind of forgot about, that that was a thing. Like, I remember
was that your only grief of choice?
No, I think upon reflection, like, I know we've talked about it a little bit, but I really thought that I was grieving over these last few years.
Yeah.
And up until this time last year, I don't think I had. I think I was disassociating and wanting to focus on, like, traveling and, like, be doing fun things and that kind of, like, finding those highs. And I was a thrill seeker, and I was obsessed with things. And it was all in the mission just to forget about the fact that I had lost my dad. Yeah. And I was just wanted to do anything to numb that pain, and I wasn't aware of it, and that's why I think actually I was disassociating from what was actually happening. But I can only see that now.
I think there's definitely, like, a level of, like, funnily enough, I was talking about this earlier with a friend, like, toxic positivity, and how we're kind of, like, programmed socially to be like, right, okay, so the way we heal, we get up and go. We go and we travel and we fall in love again and we experience all these things and everything is going to be great. And, like,
live your life.
And actually, sometimes, like you said, like, sometimes those things are a bit of a band-aid and not necessarily, like,
you need to sit in it. You need to sit in it, and you need to be in that darkness. You need to be in that darkness to be able to kind of, like, see the light.
Because also, if you don't, it comes out in different ways. Like, if you hold your grief in and you try and force it all away, you end up
quitting your job.
Or being a mean person, actually.
Yeah,
sometimes.
I was actually mean.
And I think that it can happen. Like, I think that the people who do the best out of grief and figuring it all out kind of are the people who are like, yeah, this is so shit. And the people I know who are like, you shouldn't be crying anymore, those are the people that I know don't do as well. You know, they're the ones that I think, God, you're not okay. And you're projecting on me or whatever's happening. Like, you're an angry person. And I think that, you know, it's such a hard road. And, like, obviously we're not professionals and we don't know what we're talking about, like, when it comes to psychotherapy and, you know, anything like that. But I've had enough therapy to know that feeling the things is exactly what you should be doing.
Yeah,
and so if you are miserable and sad, tell your friends, tell them again. Tell them one more time, because
if they don't listen, then
fuck them.
Sack them off and find some new people to talk to.
Yeah. Because, and listen to us talk about it.
Yeah, listen to the show with Becky and Tash and feel together.
Because we don't do toxic positivity.
Not really. Fuck that. I want to be in bed wallowing in my self-pity.
That's what you're going to do later.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait.
Well, thank you so much for Matt for coming on.
Yeah, thank
Tash
you, Matt.
For going live.
I know. Thank it's you, Becky, so for going fun. Live with me too. I'm so happy and we are so excited for the new year and we so are, excited yeah. for all the things that are coming. And
we're on at 5 p.m. every single fucking Tuesday.
Every Tuesday.
So come and listen and
join in with us.
Join in and also, be if you've got questions, then like start thinking about them and like send DM them to FUBAR.
Oh yeah,
Instagram radio.
Yeah,
yep. Instagram radio, FUBAR radio. Instagram, it's at FUBAR radio on Instagram. There we go.
Good job.
And ask us some stuff about what do you want to know. But I think we're gonna have to go.
Yeah.
But Tash, I love you.
I love you more.
It's
and
been
I'm
so fun.
So happy that we get to do this together.
Me too. Me too.
Have
See
a good week.
See you guys next week.
Bye.
Okay, we've got to go. Bye, bye, bye.